Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for joining me for yet another edition of, I guess, the mini-isodes of our tour guide tell-all. So thanks for joining us out there. So for these mini-episodes, we try to focus on, you know, a statue or a site in D.C. that we don't really normally get to talk about or maybe want to go into more detail or more depth about. So we're a little bit late, but in honor of Abraham Lincoln and his dreadful assassination, we are going to talk about actually one of the most interesting statues, I think, in all of D.C.
Yeah,
maybe the entire country.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to throw that out there.
I like it.
It's sometimes called the
bold,
first
but I like it.
Bolts. It's bolds. I'm going to try to back that up in the next few minutes. It is in a place, conveniently enough, called Lincoln Park, which is just east, well, I shouldn't say just east, but several blocks east of the Capitol building itself. During the Civil War, this park or square was actually called Lincoln Hospital. It was both a camp and a field hospital for Union troops during the war. So the site sort of has some cool history to it as well. Now, actually, this is not the first statue of Lincoln to go up. There's actually an earlier one, which today is outside Judiciary Square. That, I think, went up in 1867, so just a couple short years after the assassination. But this one, which is sometimes called the Emancipation Statue, right in the center of Lincoln Park, it is sort of a fascinating history itself. Almost all of the funding, almost entirely the funding, came from formerly enslaved people. And the very first person to give money to this or even suggest the idea was a woman named Charlotte Scott, who was a freed person. And with her very first money that she made from her very first job, it was right around that time of Lincoln's assassination, and she donates this money with the purpose of creating a memorial to him. So this is about the only statue that I know of that is almost entirely funded by formerly enslaved people. So that's sort of an interesting part to it. And then the statue itself as a visual communication is fascinating. So just try to describe, if you can't get online, look up Emancipation Statue, Lincoln Park, and try to see this for yourselves. But it's fascinating to me because the interpretation of the visual language of the statue has changed over time. So to describe it, it is Lincoln. He is dressed as you would sort of imagine him being dressed as a 19th century president, without the cap. He doesn't have his hat on in this. He has his hand on a pedestal, which if you look closely has all sorts of iconography about the continuity of government. It has connections to George Washington and the copy of the Constitution. So that's sort of, he's resting his hands on this pillar of authority. And with the other hand, it's sort of outstretched and there is an enslaved person kneeling before him, his shackles broken, his manacles broken. And so the purpose of this visual language would have been apparent to educated people in the late 19th century. Because back then, basically, formal education was all about learning about ancient Greece and ancient Rome. That was it. And in ancient times, slavery was not a permanent condition. It certainly wasn't racial. It was usually a result of unpaid debts or being a prisoner of war or something like that. And since it wasn't a permanent status, there was a ceremony where enslaved people were set free. And that usually involved kneeling down before the master. The master would wave his hand above the slave, and then that person would rise a free person. So that's what Thomas Ball, who is the sculptor here, that the artist, that's what he is trying to communicate to a 19th century audience. Fast forward that about 100 years. And what does that look like to you, Rebecca? If you know nothing about the statue, know nothing about this ceremony, what does it look like to you?
Well, there's a couple of things that it does. For one thing, it looks like he's subservient to Lincoln and is sort of in some way inferior. And the other thing that's worth mentioning about the slave is he's doesn't have a lot of clothing on.
Yeah, that's a weird choice.
It's an odd choice. And so Lincoln's got his full top, like his full suit on and a coat and the whole thing. And then we have this half naked slave, former slave. And it's very, there's a paternalistic vibe to it. Yes. There's a, yeah, it's really not, I don't know.
It doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't look good. Like, yeah,
it doesn't, you're just walking in a park. Mm. It looks, I mean, when I used to show kids this, I used to work for a civics education group, and we would take kids here all the time because the lesson of it is fascinating. And we wouldn't tell them anything. And we would just go look at the statue and tell us what you think. And these kids would get so angry.
Yeah.
And a lot of them said, it looks like Lincoln's petting a dog.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's got this outstretched hand. And again, that's not at all what Thomas Paul was trying to do at the time. And keep in mind, this is entirely funded by freedmen and free people. So that was not at all this paternalistic intent. But with 20th century eyes, we see a very different thing.
Yeah.
And I think this is so interesting, especially when we compare it to other controversial statues, particularly Civil War statues, which in my semi-professional historian opinion, are ahistorical.
Very professional. Professional.
Because they weren't things until the 1920s. But with this, the answer can't be to just tear it down because it looks bad.
Right.
Because of this history, because it was paid for by formerly enslaved people. And the whole purpose of this was to honor and exaltate Abraham Lincoln. But you can't just sort of leave it there and say that. Like, oh, no, everything's fine. He's not a dog. Everything's fine. This totally would have looked fine in the 1900s.
It's fine.
So this was a really important moment when they dedicated this statue. I want to say it was 1876. Actually, April 14th. I looked up this date. It was April 14th, so not a few days from when we were recording this. And Frederick Douglass is the main speaker there. The keynote speaker there. And it's a really important and wonderful moment. So you can't just erase that.
But he's also not like, Frederick Douglass isn't like super complimentary of Lincoln at this dedication too. He very much like holds Lincoln to task. And it's not a pure, I mean, he does praise Lincoln, obviously, but he's also like kind of critical.
And that sort of goes into their complicated relationship, where Douglass definitely wanted Lincoln to do more. And I think a lot of the reason why Lincoln comes around to emancipation is because of his conversations with Douglass. Yeah. And I always loved, I do think, even though he was sort of critical of Lincoln, the one thing that I love that Frederick Douglass said about Lincoln was, even though we disagreed on things, and I can't remember the exact quote, so I'm just going to paraphrase, even though we disagreed on things, Lincoln was one of the few white men who ever talked to him like a normal human being. Like there was no status difference. There was no racial hierarchy. And Frederick Douglass would often comment about abolitionists, especially from the North, who wanted an end to slavery and wanted emancipation, but were also exceedingly paternalistic in their dealings with talking to Douglass. And that's what I always liked about their relationship, was that Douglass, even though they disagreed, and you know, Douglass wasn't all on board the Lincoln train by any means, I always thought that was a very revealing comment. So back to this statue. It is this interesting statue, but as the 20th century progresses, it gets more and more problematic. And so ultimately, they have this great idea. I'm not sure exactly who came up with this great idea, but you know, a lot of times people say, you know, oh, we'll contextualize the statue and we'll put a little sign that explains what it is. And I don't know if you've gone to statues and other things like that, but no one reads that stuff.
No, and
that's the purpose of the statue, is to capture your imagination and to capture your eyes and to say something to you. And so reading quaint little signs off to the side is not really going to help contextualize this.
Right.
So what they do instead is add another statue to the other side of Lincoln Park. And the other cool thing they do is they turn the Lincoln statue around. to face this new statue. So originally when it was dedicated, the Lincoln statue was actually pointed west towards the Capitol and towards the White House. But in, I think it's 1974, they decide to place a new statue at the other end. They flip the Lincoln statue around to face it. And this new statue is of Mary McLeod Bethune. Mary McLeod Bethune, also very fascinating woman. Like, we could deep dive into her.
Yeah, we'll do her at some point. Put her on
the
list.
We should put her on the list. Yeah. But she is probably most noted for starting the first school for African-American girls. And then also creating the National Council of Negro Women, who it is the National Council of Negro Women who sort of sponsor and dedicate the statue. So they're largely behind it. She is also sort of the organizer of FDR's quote unquote black cabinet, because of the racism of the time. FDR couldn't actually appoint African-Americans to cabinet posts. That'd be crazy talk. That's crazy talk. But especially through the convincing of Eleanor, he realized how important it was to have people from this community have direct access to the White House. So she is definitely a big part of that. So she has this huge, huge influence. And the statue itself is done by, why can't I ever remember his name? Robert Burks. And there's two other beautiful Robert Burks statues in Washington, D.C. Do you know what they are?
I don't.
You may not know the sculptor. You know what they are, though. It's the Einstein statue and the JFK statue.
In the Kennedy Center.
Yeah, the bust of JFK. Okay. And it's a very, it's almost his style of statue. Like, I don't know what else it's Burksian, I guess.
There's a very distinct style to it,
If you've ever seen a clay sculpture made or witness a sculptor do that, they often start, you know, big hunk, and they sort of shave it down, and then they start adding pieces back to it to sort of create the shape that they want. And at first, they're just little dabs of clay, and then they get smoothed over, and then it creates something a little bit more realistic. And Burks is interesting for his style because he sort of leaves it at that. He creates all the form with what looks like little dabs of clay. So it's very rough, very... I don't know, modern in a sense.
Yeah.
And very cool looking. But what's fascinating about this is Mary McLeod Bethune statue is her, and she walked with a cane. So she has a cane there, but her body language is the exact same position as Lincoln. She's sort of leaning on her cane, just like Lincoln is leaning on this pillar, and she has this outstretched arm, which Lincoln sort of has over the freed person. And instead of, you know, sort of a kneeling dog or anything like that, there are two school children, a boy and a girl. And she holds out this piece of paper, which, if you read the statue, is her legacy. And I know we just said no one reads the statue, but I'm going to read the statue because it is a beautiful, beautiful quote from Mary McLeod Bethune. And she says, I leave you love, I leave you hope, I leave you the challenge of developing confidence in one another. I leave you a thirst for education, I leave you racial dignity. I leave a desire to live harmoniously with your fellow men. I leave you, finally, a responsibility to our young people. So the conversation, and that's how I sort of like to describe Lincoln Park today, is this conversation between the Lincoln statue and the Bethune statue. And I think it is such a clever way to properly contextualize the Lincoln statue and without sort of tearing it down or ignoring the contributions of the people who paid to get that built. But it does contextualize it in such a fascinating way. And there's no way to not see the handoff of the legacy, not only from Bethune to these school children, but also sort of the Lincoln era to Bethune's era. And, you know, the message for me, and when we take kids there, was like, what is your legacy going to be? Which I think is great for kids to think about.
I love the Lincoln statue. there's a whole spate of statues. There's one in New York where it was done at a particular moment in history, but the European is always fully dressed and the non-European is half naked. Like there's a statue in New York of Peter Stuyvesant, who's the first like Dutch muckety muck to be set foot on Manhattan. And he's greeting these Native Americans, very similar. The Peter Stuyvesant is fully dressed and the Native Americans are half naked. And it's like, it's meant to show like the paternalism and the subservience of the sort of non-white part of the statue. And you and I live in Washington, D.C. There is no date in Washington where both of those outfits are appropriate. Like either Lincoln is sweating to death in the middle of the summer and the freed slave is comfortable, or the freed slave is going to die of hypothermia in the middle of winter and Lincoln's fine. So it's just such a great statement about, you know, sort of the freed slave, yes, but like you were talking about, there's a lot of paternalism sort of in the design of it.
Yeah, and it's so funny that paternalism wasn't really seen in the, I think that's the other thing that really
fascinates me. It's just amazing they didn't see it.
Yeah, like to us today, and that's why I sort of asked you at the beginning, like, what are your first impressions when you first saw this? Like, and usually what I get when I take people there is that, you know, it looks like he's petting a dog.
Yeah.
I mean, that starts a whole conversation with that. So yeah, that's, I think that is fascinating that is the very first thing we see today. But again, they paid for by Friedman. Frederick Douglass is at the dedication, and he clearly didn't have any problems with it. He had problems with Lincoln, but he clearly didn't have any problems with the statue. So just how much has changed in that time between those two periods. And I did want to point out, I forgot to point out, that Thomas Ball, the sculptor of the Lincoln statue, actually used a picture or photograph of Archer Alexander, who is the last enslaved person to be returned, quote unquote, under the Fugitive Slave Act before the Civil War. So that even makes it even odder that it's a real person in this very unreal getup.
Yes.
That, you know, no enslaved person in the 1800s was ever going to be dressed unless they were going to sleep or something. I don't know. But yeah, so it's an interesting choice by the sculptor. It's fascinating to me that no one has a problem with it until the latter part of the 20th century. And then I really do enjoy the way that it's quote unquote fixed.
Yeah.
By creating this other statue and understanding the legacy, which of course was the original intent of the first statue in the first place. Cool. I'm trying to remember if there's anything else. I think that's it.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thanks for joining us. This was a mini episode of
Minisode
of Tour Guide Tell All.
And you can follow us on the Twitterverse at Tour Guide Tell.
Yep.
Not Tour Guide Tell All, right?
Just Tour Guide Tell.
Yep. Tour Guide Tell.
Yes.
Because that's what we do.
You can tweet at us. Please like and subscribe to the pod. You can get us on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. The subscriptions and giving us reviews really help get the word out for the pod and sort of get more people to us.
Reviews are big.
Reviews are really huge.
We should all know this in the universe out there, but everything is determined by views. And this is a new venture for us. So we're really trying to get it off the ground. So if you enjoyed any part of this, please, for the love of all that is good and holy, just write a quick review.
Write a quick review and give us and subscribe and tell your friends to write a review and subscribe. We really super appreciate it very much. We'll see you next week.
Next time.
Next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.